This episode is brought to you by AnalyzeMyBJJ.com. AnalyzeMyBJJ.com offers a rotating schedule of top-level athletes and coaches that will break down your fight or training videos and reply to you within a reasonable amount of time. You will receive a full written or video breakdown responses, which includes positive, problem areas, what to work on, possible drills, techniques to add. You can find them at AnalyzeMyBJJ.com, or you can go to LRTLK.com, click on the sponsor page, and click on the banner, and it'll take you straight to their website. Again, AnalyzeMyBJJ.com.
What's up, guys? Swallow J here. I'm here with my co-host,
Art of War, and we have Brandon McCaffrey in house.
Man, that was kind of lame. You should do a better introduction for him.
I do whatever I want.
Dude.
You don't know me.
This is the Godfather.
I do drugs. I kill people.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, Brandon. I was trying to make him, you know, blow you up.
I appreciate you know.
Brandon's going to introduce himself, but we also have Sherry here, too. So let's get on through.
Sir, introduce yourself to the people that are listening.
My name is Brandon McCaffrey.
And he's a gangster, people. Just so you know.
I'm not a gangster.
Oh, yeah. You're the Godfather.
I'm the Godfather.
I know. Last time I went to Decatur, we were at this pizza joint, and we were all sitting in the back, and Brandon goes, guy comes back, he whispers something in his ear, comes back like 2 minutes later with like 100 euro liquor. You remember that, right? He's a gangster, man. You can't sleep on him.
Well, that's the waiter's job. They're supposed to bring you what you're asking for, so.
No.
That wasn't the waiter.
You know he runs Decatur, bro. He's the president of Decatur.
I want to be.
I think that's good goals. I want to be like the president of all of Florida. Is there a position? I want to make that position.
Nah, bro.
I think they call him the governor.
Nah,
I
could be wrong about that. Nah, the governor's bitch, man. He has so much red tape he has to deal with. I just want to be able to say, like, do this.
If you want to be in charge, don't get into politics. You get into money.
Mm. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it didn't make sense to me why Trump would want to run for president. It's like, dude.
He has both.
Yeah. He just wanted to win.
He's just
down to be the biggest winner of all time. He won, by the way. He did.
He's a winner, all right.
I don't have too many comments about all that.
Oh, I totally missed what you just said.
Wiener.
Anthony Wiener?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going back to my favorite topic.
Yeah. Dick pics? No, let's stop it. Let's not go there. B-Mac, so you started 10 Planet how long ago?
That I started learning 10 Planet? Yeah. Or that the school started?
Well, both.
So I've been in martial arts like 11 years now. Yeah. Like pretty much full time. Jacob on the side over here, we actually, he's in the background if you're listening, but we actually trained together in Tung Soo Do growing up when he was just a little kid.
I'm sorry, what is Tung Soo Do?
Tung Soo Do Mudak Kwan.
Is that Muay Thai?
It's like Taekwondo. You think about Taekwondo?
Yeah.
It's that kind of martial art. So it's not the same, but
you get up all the way to black belt too? Or?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, me and Jacob got our black belts together.
Damn.
Me, Jacob, my wife was there. She got her black belt with us. I don't know if it's anybody else that you got.
Is that when you started doing weapons like bangmangi?
Oh, no. I don't know much about weaponry. I was just asking because I just think it's interesting. I like to talk to other martial arts. I was asking Art yesterday if he did any like weapon work. I don't do too much of it. I just am interested in it. I'm trying to like expand my martial horizons. But that's when I started martial arts, was about 11 years ago. And like, I'm just the kind of dude who goes all in, like on day one. Oh, I'm interested in this. Okay, I'm real interested. And then everything else dies in my life, you know. So I can only keep like one thing going at a time. So I can have a marriage, and then I can have one thing I do. But I can't have a marriage and two things I do.
Well, your wife was doing it with you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah, but you still got to be married when karate class is over.
Oh, true.
Yeah, you can't break the board into her face.
Well, if she's holding the forks at home, I mean, it's okay.
No dinner for you.
So yeah, we did that. And then pretty quickly, within just a couple of months, maybe even a couple, like 1 month or 2 months, I went to a seminar that Eddie Bravo was teaching.
That seems to be like where everybody gets into it.
Yeah. This one of them, I didn't really know. I knew I'd heard his name before because I've been into the UFC for a long time.
Right.
So, I'd seen him doing commentary, and then he used to do the scoring.
Right.
Remember, they would go, let's go to Eddie Bravo.
Man, that's old school right
Eddie
there.
Bravo for the scoring. And then he was the commentator on a couple of old Pride fights. And so I was familiar with him, but I didn't follow him by any means. But he was doing a seminar, and one of the guys that I was training with, Joe Friday, was like, hey, man, You go to this Eddie Bravo seminar?
Yeah. So you learn how to kick and choke.
Yeah, and Eddie taught for like 6 hours that day.
Six hours?
The whole rubber guard path and the whole twister path.
Wow.
Like the old basic standard path. For the 1.0. Because nobody knew that stuff then.
And this was in Decatur?
That was in Birmingham, Alabama, okay. At a place that was called Shadow MMA. But it's such a shadow, it's not even there anymore. It just faded out.
It's called now Memories MMA.
That happens to a lot of those gyms, man. They just don't have the business sense behind the training.
Yeah, and I don't know that guy at all, but I'm just guessing he had no business sense.
Yeah.
Or he had a lot of money that somebody gave him, and he had no way to sustain a business. Because the place was huge. It was probably 5,000 square feet of mat space.
Wow.
It was
enormous. So that's bigger than your school right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
My mat space is almost 3,000. And that's huge, right? It's enormous.
Art, school goals, bro.
Mine's just under half.
It's too much, though.
I think that's pretty good for like 8 months. We'll work up to it. Because I started with 300 square feet of mat.
I remember. Yeah, we were next door.
And then I went to...
at a CrossFit gym.
Then I went to 6 and then 8. And now we're just under 15.
That's good, dude. You really don't need more than that, honestly. It's 3,000's overkill. But that's what I was going for, was overkill. Like the big banner, the big mats.
That was a big banner.
I got a tiki hut. I was going for overkill.
Bro, that's like my favorite part of your school is the tiki hut with the coconuts.
Now that my wife is working there full time, it's much cleaner and nicer. Right, guys? It's looking a lot better.
Does it smell like a gym?
Nope. It smells good in there now. You don't smell like a bunch of dudes.
That's tough. That's a tall order. What is she doing? I need to talk to her.
I don't know.
She's called doing lady magic.
It is lady magic because I'm hitting this stuff with bleach and I got air fresheners and I was like, I don't know this album.
No, she just come in and sprinkles like good feelings on it and stuff.
She hits it with that love. Yeah. You know, it's true though. Like, they like do that, right? So you can make a peanut butter jelly sandwich, but when they make it, way fucking better. Same ingredients, same shit. I don't know what's the difference.
Listen, I agree with you.
I try to.
Well, sometimes some people put too much jelly.
That might be the case.
Some people put too much jelly. Let's be real.
Like, I try to make what Michelle makes at home, and he just doesn't come out the same way. But I'm using, like you said, the same freaking ingredients.
You don't put the time in.
Man, I can't compete with that.
You go crunchy on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich or smooth?
No, I go smooth, bro.
You got a particular brand of peanut butter you like?
Jiffy.
You're a Jiffy man.
Art?
I try not to eat it because if I eat it,
liar.
I take like, no.
No, you're out.
I'll eat it.
You're
but
out.
But it puts me out for, if I want to take a nap for 2 hours, I'll eat me 2 peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Like,
what is
I
it?
Eat it. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, oh, I'm going down. And then I'm out so hard. Bro, and I wake up like,
that puts you to sleep.
The world just
I've never
died
heard of that
me.
In my whole life.
Listen, I think you made that up.
Is I'm wondering if I have an allergy.
With a banana, bro.
You think I have an allergy? Like, I'm kind of like semi-anaphylactic shock when my brain shuts down.
I think it's your Spaniard genes, bro.
That's it. They don't be having peanuts in Spain.
No.
Don't?
It's your Spaniard genes,
bro. I don't know. They might have a lot of peanuts in Spain. I just made that up.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It's okay, bro. We make up stuff as we go along,
so we can just, like, alternate facts it all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no peanuts in Spain.
We are completely
There's also no jelly, if you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Lots of olive oil, though.
Yeah. So you have an olive oil and
or so the Germans
garlic
have you
sandwich or something.
999.
This show, we have a producer who's supposed to be checking our facts. As you can see, he's not here. So
can't promise anything
that's your
today,
job.
Guys.
So I'm
you have to run the whole show. Yeah, so I watched you set up everything, and Art just sat here and watched you.
Damn. Yeah, I don't want him setting up stuff.
You don't want him touching the stuff?
No. As you saw, he kicked the mics earlier.
Hey.
Sherry brought coffee. That was
I know.
Real quick.
I brought the coffee. She brought the sugar and the banana bread.
Oh, thank you,
Sherry. Well, what's my role?
Awesome.
You're the talent, bro.
Damn right. So let's not get this fucking shit twisted, okay?
Listen, he's a good looking dude.
Listen,
you need to put him on the Facebook page just like smiling, maybe shirt off. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you've seen the picture, but it's him holding his cup of coffee, and I'm just like,
cowering down.
But he's in the back, you know, the big guy, you know.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why he gets away with murder. He's half of the time he's on the phone, not even paying attention to the podcast.
I believe you.
So we're talking.
I sat mine to the side because I'm completely addicted.
No,
to my
listen.
Phone,
so Brandon, really, what the case is I'm on the phone. I'm following up on all your social media.
He's lying because it takes
up on all
day
your social media.
I post so much.
Yes, exactly. Like, this man got IG. He got Facebook. He's got the Twitter. What else you got?
Everything.
I got a bunch of them. Snapchat, Grindr.
Snapchat. I'm always
checking Snapchat. I'm on Musical.ly now.
Musical.ly? I don't even know what that. Oh, because you're doing music again.
No, no, not really. This is that what Musical.ly that's about? Is a social media app, but it's like for young kids. Like I'm talking about, like my daughter. She's 9, and she's like Musical.ly. That's what. Really? So I got her helping me run a Musical.ly channel.
I gotta say, man, because
if I can take over the 9-year-old market, they'll be 18 one day with a part-time job, looking to spend some money. I know where they're going to go.
I like where your head's at.
I'm playing the long game.
He's planting the seeds, bro.
They'd be like, oh, I grew up with this guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then they come in, and then your daughter's teaching them.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm dead serious, too. Like,
so
I'm
they already have facial recognition. She's
how
on
do
the
we
videos.
Do that, bro? How do we get the 9-year-olds interested in this podcast?
Dog, we got
to
have
I
kids.
I don't think you want the 9-year-olds interested
not this
in
podcast.
This podcast.
It's not how the, it's not for you kids.
Definitely. As you can see on their picture, it says explicit content.
And on some days, it says extreme explicit content. Don't share with your mother. Yeah. Don't share with your kids.
That's why
probably not your
wife. You're talking about needing people to share it. That's limiting your shareability.
I know, bro. But at the same
time.
No,
you
got
to be you, though. You have to be true to you.
That's why.
That's what's going to make it shareable later.
We were talking about that last week. And we're like, well, you know, some people may prefer... You know, people who talk about jujitsu, philosophy, and concepts and all that. And it's like, you know, we talk about jujitsu sometimes, but we want to make it fun for us too. Because if we're trying to please them, then we're not pleasing ourselves.
You can't do anything to please other people. You can't. Yeah. It has to please you first, ultimately.
Yeah. And like,
but it's such a tough balance because you have to also care about other people more than you care about yourself at the same time.
That is true.
So you got to watch out for number one and for everybody else. And you got to pull from both ends of that, like a suspension bridge. That's what keeps it up is the opposite truths that are play at all times.
I'm sure my mom's disappointed by listening to the podcast.
She probably don't listen.
She does.
Oh, she does listen.
She
well, she ain't that disappointed. She stays with it.
She probably like, I knew all along.
Dude, we already put Chuck to sleep. He's out.
I know. Look at him.
Chuck died.
Sorry, Chuck, bro.
He's like, dude, we got a 10-hour drive after this.
He's 10 hours.
Look, I competed yesterday. I had steak. Nine. I'm tired.
Bro, I couldn't eat that food last night. If I ate those burgers and those steaks at 3 a.m. like y'all did, I would never go to bed.
Bro, those burgers are so good.
The burger was better than the steak.
Yeah, it was.
Where was my steak?
Well, I didn't get a whole steak.
I
had Tori Applegate cut me off a slice of her steak because I was walking out the door. I was like, Tori, you going to give me a piece of that steak?
Hook me up.
And then she threatened to hurt me.
Man, I was craving steak last night. Like, literally driving home, my mouth was watering and all I wanted was steak.
Dude,
and I had to have my meal prepped with chicken thigh and
Are you competing soon?
I'm competing next Saturday. And
how long have you been training? Tell me about your training.
4 years.
Blue belt, purple belt?
Blue belt.
How long have you been a blue belt?
Almost 2 years in October.
Nice. Done all your training with these guys?
No, I actually just started here like mid-May. It was actually after Eddie Bravo's seminar. I started actually coming here a little bit more. I went to Boogie's seminar and then Eddie's.
Oh, Boogie's one of my favorite people in the whole world.
That
he's
going to
come. He's coming to Decatur
eyes.
Later this year.
He had a match last night.
Yes, he won from the rubber guard. Did you see the pics? He's doing, like, the stuff. So I play a lot of rubber guard, and I do, like, some weird stuff from rubber guard, but usually just to, like, blue belts, white belts, blue belts, purple belts. I'll pull their leg over their head. He did that to a real black belt last night from rubber guard, pulled the leg.
Grab the leg instead of the wrist and pull it right over his head. Oh, dang. I saw the picture.
I didn't
see
the match, so I don't know exactly what went down, but I saw some of the
You
pictures.
Would have to put me back together in a hospital if I did that.
I couldn't put my head. That guy was super flexible, though, because it went over his head.
It went all the way over the picture.
It looked like it did. I was like, is this like a version of a spladle on top of the fucking rubber guard and past it? I don't know.
Now I got a couple of clips of me doing it. It's so pretty awesome. It's one of my favorite things. Anyway, it'd be stupid to even try to describe it. I'm gonna do it anyway. So you go like to a meat hook, and you got the foot, the carny stuff on the inside. The butterfly hook is stuff on the inside. So what I'll do sometimes with the leg that's meat hooking, if the guy tries to post on his far foot to start to drive pressure down, I'll take that top foot that would be meat hooking, I'll invert like belly down, and I'll start to weave under his posted leg with my top side leg like I got a butterfly hook, and I'll turn him.
On that
we'll
far
be
side.
Upside down. Oh. I'll be ripping him with a hip lock.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's just stupid. Like,
so nasty.
You know, it's a stupid one. I'm not advocating that it would work on, like, awesome people. But apparently, Boogie did something real similar to that.
That's pretty damn
awesome
cool.
People.
So. I missed it. I mean, I saw the picture that
yeah, that's all I saw
Eddie there. Reposted, but
I'm talking about that.
No, it's all good. That's how we do here. We all talk about
Dude, I'm an addict on this caffeine. Look at this. I'm going back and forth. I got a coffee here.
And a monster.
I got a monster here, and I'm just going sip.
You're
going
to be talking for 6 hours.
I am about to start talking for something like that. Is that going to be out there? We're starting at 12, right?
Yes, sir. Seminar today.
Oh, well, yeah. I need to. Man, I'm doing.
He's doing that Snapchat stuff, bro. Oh, he does that all podcast long.
I should do that.
Yeah.
So, guys, wave. There he is.
We're like, fuck you, I'm tired, leave me alone.
Chuck's tired over there, dude.
So you were talking about
Chuck has a real job. That's tough.
What do you work at, Chuck? Get on the mic. Get on that mic.
Here you go.
I work at a grocery store called Kroger.
Kroger? I love Kroger.
Yeah. Dude,
I don't think we have Kroger here.
No, in Georgia, bro.
My father-in-law.
And, I guess all Tennessee, in Alabama, obviously.
My father-in-law has been working at Kroger since he was 16 years old.
Really?
Yes.
Does he run it?
Chuck, you know, like kind of his role, he's in management over there. I don't know exactly what's going down. He works at the same place that Chuck does, but he has a mechanical engineering degree.
That's job security right there for you.
Not him, my father-in-law.
No, I'm saying that's job security for him right there. He knows your father-in-law.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That might be the worst. Like, you know Brandon?
It's not good. You know I don't like that.
Wait a minute. My daughter. Is it like that?
No, my father-in-law. Okay. Awesome. No, he's one of my favorite people in the world, actually. But he's got a mechanical engineering degree, and he just never stopped working at Kroger. He's like, I like working here.
Yeah. Why go somewhere else when
that's
you're
just
happy?
So cool.
Yeah.
I admire that a lot.
Actually. People that work at Publix all their life, you're like, why are you working there? Because I love it.
Because it's like, it fits.
Yeah.
It works right.
So you were I love the people at my Publix.
You work at Publix?
No, I go there every day, though.
Dude, I would go every day if I could afford it. I would go to Publix and Chick-fil-A every day. They make me feel so good.
Well, I would go to Whole Foods, but I can't afford that.
That's well, they say my pleasure every time you say thank you.
Whole Foods don't make you feel like you're the king like Publix does, though.
Okay. By the way,
they recognize me, and they ask me about the super fight that I had in Miami. They asked me,
that's true.
Did you know we got new gluten-free something on this aisle? And then someone else, the customer, would be like, oh, where's the tuna? I said, it's aisle 12. And they look at me, and you work here? I was like, no, I'm just here every
for the tuna.
I like the food.
You know, Amazon bought Whole Foods.
I saw that. Yeah. What an awesome move.
So now, if you have a Prime account, you can order your groceries from Prime.
Shut the front door.
Is that the way it's already set up?
Coming in a drone, bro.
So, hey, just saying.
Same day.
If that happens, Amazon's coming amazing. In a drone.
Okay. I may be lying a little bit, but, you know.
No, I think that's what they want to do. You know what I think they're going to do, for real? This is my total speculation.
Which is?
I think they're going to. So, you know, everything's becoming like smart watches, smart cars, smart everything. Like, I think they're going to start setting up like smart refrigerators. And they're going to like read. Okay.
You're out of milk.
They do, actually.
I'm running out of ham, and it's going to auto-order on Amazon.
Inventory thing.
That's what I think's coming.
And you can keep a grocery list on the screen on the
refrigerator. What about if you're broke? You can afford it that week.
I don't know how it works. They have it. It's like a smart refrigerator, and it's got like a screen on it, and it'll tell you when you're like out of milk and like what you need and what you've used.
I don't need one that wants to tell me when I'm out. I already know I'm out. I tried to fill up the Rice Krispies. I just tried to eat some frosted Rice Krispies. I know I'm out. I want to know when I'm going to be out based on my consumption.
Well,
habits.
If you bought it today, most likely tomorrow.
If it's frosted Rice Krispies,
it's gone.
How do y'all do your frosted Rice Krispies?
With
go whole milk or what do you do?
Whole milk, yeah, you got to.
Rice Krispies, usually I melt down some marshmallows.
Man, why are you trying to add some stuff?
Listen,
I like
my cereal with whole milk. I mean, 2% if that's all we got, fine. But whole milk is the way to go.
You don't be putting skim milk in it like
I can't do dairy and
I'm already
I can't do gluten, so most cereals are out.
I started doing cashew milk.
I can do
milk.
Chex.
That just makes it sweeter.
With a ton of sugar.
No, don't do the unsweetened.
I know. Still, makes it sweeter to me.
Oh, I like the cashew milk the best.
But they got Lucky Charms now. It's gluten-free.
I ain't really into Lucky Charms.
Pops. That's my jam.
I miss Pops.
Pops was good.
Like, I'll sit, just eat that all day
but
long.
But let's all give it up for the champion, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, though.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is pretty good.
That's good.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the champ. Like, at the end, when
it's all that stuff. Oh in the my bottom. Gosh!
Just the cinnamon and the sugar, and there ain't no crunching left.
I like soggy life. Cereal. I like live cereal.
You don't like live. Don't nobody cereal, like
you
live.
I like live. It has soggy. Cinnamon live too. It's good.
You don't like that.
It gets too soggy.
Now, be back. You were talking earlier country. About music, and I gotta say, last
some
year
music,
music,
some music.
Music? Do you want to take over and like ask him stuffy. The question that I was gonna ask?
It sounded like you said.
You didn't say music.
Go ahead, bro.
You do music.
Go ahead.
What kind of music do you do?
No, that's not what I was going to fucking ask him.
How long you been doing music?
No, that wasn't it. But go ahead, Brandon.
What's your latest?
A long time.
What's your latest music detail?
I said music, motherfucker.
You said with a B, bro.
No, I said music.
Okay.
Fucker. Anyway, you fucked me up. I forgot my question now.
You want me to hit him?
Yeah.
Because I already answered his question.
Dude, I'm not going to hit him. Look at him.
He's soft.
He's
bro.
Not soft, dude. Bro, I tried soft. To, I sparred with him.
Listen, I've seen him. He's soft right now.
Maybe right now.
Yeah.
He don't look soft to me. He looks like he could strangle a man.
Oh, he could.
He won't strangle me, though.
I'll be but. Ready.
I'll kill him. Yeah. I like Brandon. I'm
he's so soft spoken. He's like, he's so soft.
Even if I, whenever I roll with Brandon one
have
time.
Have you seen him lose his shit yet?
No.
All right. Well, you'll see him when he loses his shit, which is every time we do a fucking seminar or some kind of an event, he's like, the fuck's going on?
Oh.
What the hell's he doing here? We gotta get this cleaned up.
No,
what the
he's
fuck?
got a new,
WTF is what you hear coming out of him.
Personal assistant to take care of the extra little bullshit.
Are you the personal assistant?
Maybe.
Is that your job?
No,
dude,
no.
You know what? That's my next, like, for my business. That's my next hire.
No, I'm just really hire enjoy helping out.
To, like, be my personal assistant and follow me with a camera all day long.
Well, you do want to be internet famous, don't you?
I do. Yeah, that's, listen.
He doesn't want to be famous. He the just more my internet face, famous.
The more, well, internet famous is famous now, Holmes.
Yeah, but I'm just repeating what you said.
Joe Rogan is the most important voice in media. Now, 90 million downloads a month, player.
We're getting close to our
Tom. He's our Tom Brokaw.
And he's more interesting. No, seriously, though, if it wasn't for people like Wallow, Sherry, and Chris, and Bert, and Pat, Bald Pat, putting in the work that these guys do, like, well, I have two
I love
paths.
How everybody has a...
I have two paths.
Afro Pat and Bald Pat. And
Bald Pat.
So we got... So, well, not anymore, because a bunch of them don't train anymore. But we had a bunch of Phillips. So we had Purple Phillip, because he's a purple belt. He's brown belt now, but he's still Purple Phillip. So Purple Phillip, Country Phillip, and Dirty Phillip.
I'm assuming that's the one that doesn't wash his ass?
No, he just looked like this dude that we call Dirty Bird. Dirty Bird was my best friend for a long time. He's been my best friend. And this dude looked like Dirty Bird. I was like, well, your name's Phillip, but you're Dirty Phillip. There's no reason to, you know, think about it too much. Just be Dirty Phillip. You got to have some kind of modifier. Bald Pat and Afro Pat. I get it.
Got a bunch of Mikes and Ryans now.
We got a shit ton of Mikes and Ryans, so I change them all up. I'm like, you're Junior, you're Miggy, you're
Miguelinho.
Miguelinho.
Yeah. Magrinho.
Yeah. So I dominated Eddie.
All right.
We were going to Naga in Orlando. I think it was 2016. That was like a month before we opened.
That's like a year 10 ago.
10 Planet of AB. Yeah. Yeah. And Brian puts it on. I'm like, who the hell is this? It's like, that's P-Mac, bro. So where did you come up with the idea?
I don't know.
Well, he just watched. He just looked at Jiu-Jitsu Times. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, I think I did it that, like, maybe that night or the next day after their match. I was just sitting down with the guitar, and I thought it would be funny. And I just posted it in the 10WO. So I recorded it on my phone. You know, just like, you know how you have, like, little apps on right. your phone? That So it's just like, I just sat my phone down, and I put, like, three channels on it or whatever, like, three tracks, and just mixed it on my phone, and then threw it up for them in the private message group for the 10WO, and then they...
Because you know it's got like over 100 million views, right?
What?
Yeah, you didn't know?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, man, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but you know...
That doesn't even make sense.
We don't have our fact checker here, so I could say that, and you know, it's
like,
okay.
I don't even think it's got like, I don't even think it has like 10,000 or something.
If you saw the honest, like, surprise look on Brandon's face, he's like, what? Why am I not seeing this money?
Why am I not monetizing that shit?
Not correct.
This is why we need our fact checker. But he's not here, so. Oh, well.
That's a fun.
We lie a lot, so.
But you forgot to ask, am I a liar?
Right?
So,
like, I had to come clean because he looked at me like, what? So I had to tell him the truth.
Yeah. Well,
feel guilty.
Yeah.
And at your school, you opened it as a blue belt? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Yo, that's gangster.
Now, did you go to...
Kinda. I don't know why anybody trained with me. I was terrible.
Well, did you go to HQ or how did you...
Yeah, I still go to LA at least once a year. And then I was just flying. So my policy at the time, so like I said, if I get into something, I go all the way in.
Right.
Art almost fell down. I wish that would have happened, almost, to be honest.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been mad at you. I don't want you to get hurt, but I did want you to fall. He hit me.
I got big soft carpet. I got soft carpet. See,
super fight. But not on the carpet. You don't want a black light on that carpet, though.
I don't want. or the casting couch.
The couch was here before I got here, so I can't promise anything.
I appreciate y'all. I was like, can I sit on the couch? And you're like, yeah, no problem.
That's actually my spot right there.
Oh, no, these cashews. You just spilled all these.
That's why you see the blood fart stains on it.
Now you got to eat those.
Blood fart stains? That's so weird. Here, toss them right in your hair, brother. Right in this little tin thing. There you go.
So what were we talking about? Sorry.
So you were going to HQ once a year.
Yeah, at least once a year, right? And then my policy was if Eddie is teaching a seminar, and he's always teaching seminars, he still is, really. If he's within 10 hours of drive time, I'm going.
Ooh.
And so that's what I did. I just pretty much stalked him all over the country. And then I would fly him or his instructors out, and we would have seminars. And that's how we would pay for it. Like, because I didn't have enough money. I was broke.
Well, that's a blue belt, I would imagine so.
Yeah. Well, so I had two degrees. I had two bachelor's degrees, but I was waiting tables so I could run the gym.
So you keep that alive.
Yes, because that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that was your end goal.
So I could train as much as possible.
With him being as busy as he is, how was you like, oh, I recognize you from the last seminar. I recognize you from
eventually,
last year.
Eventually, yeah.
You're like 10 years later, yeah. Eddie, look at me again.
Well, you know, it's funny because like me and Eddie are really different kinds of people, you know. We've become like really close friends over the years, especially since he's had kids.
Well, you're both Mexican though, right?
I'm super Mexican, as you can tell.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But like, especially like as he's like started, you know, got married, had a kid. Now we have like a lot in common, you know? And so, and plus, you know, you got 10 years of
friendship there.
I guess with him, probably 7 or 8 years of, you know, building
the first
a relationship.
Three were kind of rocky. He's like, well, he doesn't know me.
What do we know? Like, what am I going to talk to this dude about? I'm a little country kid from Alabama. I've never like accomplished anything for real in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I was just, you know, caught up in the different kind of trap, but caught up in a, you know, like working for my paycheck trap. You know,
working
never
for made
nothing.
Yeah. But working for somebody else for your paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the trap to me. It manifests itself in different ways in different cultures, but the trap is paying the bills, like being forced to worry about that. You know?
Got to have a car, got to have insurance, got to have phone, got to have a place to live.
And then you make more money.
Yeah.
And you don't worry about those same things anymore. So you get a new car and now you're forced to pay for the car. And then you have a new house and you're forced to pay for the house. And you're making the same amount of money. You're making more money, but you're not having any new stuff because you're paying for new crap. It's a trap.
More money, more problems.
That's what I keep hearing.
I don't know. I'm going to test that theory. Give me all the money. I'll figure it out. Yeah. I think we're a little smarter than the rest of those guys.
We got, in our home, we got really into Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No. Yeah. Who is he?
Yeah.
He's a
financial counselor guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Although he's filed bankruptcy like how many times?
Yeah, two or three. I don't know.
So that's just to keep his money.
He knows the in and outs.
Yeah, probably just to keep the money. Yeah. But
yeah, he helps you budget and stick to it, although it's hard to stick to it.
It's super hard to stick to it. But what we did is, so in the beginning, like his idea was, okay, you got, let's just for ease of numbers, let's say you got $1,000 income coming in every month. It's not very much, but we'll just pretend, right? You got $1,000 income coming
in
every
month.
Yeah, it feels about right for Alabama. And you take, $300 of it, set it to the side. That's your grocery money. And then this is your house payment. But you take the cash out. And you put it in an envelope, and so like, okay, you got $40 to spend this month on entertainment. once the $40, I spent all $40 going to the movies this weekend. Good luck the rest of the month. You got nothing else in the envelope. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we did that for a little bit. That was a little too restrictive for us because we don't like cash. But we took the ideas of it, and then we ended up paying off all our debt and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
We don't have any car debt or credit cards or business loans or anything like that.
Accordion envelope system. I have
Yeah, like the financial piece. Is that what you did? Yeah. I recommend it to everybody.
I'm having to do that right now because I got a trip coming up, so I'm having to set money aside
for
my trip.
You should.
And it's hard, man.
You should get that book, dude. I highly recommend it. I don't know if I recommend the actual envelope system, but the principles. The thing with having strict rules like that is it forces you to adhere to the principle. That's what rules are for in the first place, right?
But rules are meant to be broken.
Maybe. they don't actually exist.
Yeah.
Rules are not even a real thing. They're just to point you to the ideas, right? In any field, they point you to the right ideas. And if you can get the ideas, then the rules don't matter. You can do it however you want because you got the idea. Like jiu-jitsu, Art does an arm bar different than me. I hadn't seen Art do an arm bar, but I guarantee it's different than mine.
Actually,
Yours is different than mine.
But I see them copy yours.
Well, that's a good move.
In the last 3 months.
I love Brandon's content, man. There's a lot of stuff. The swim move, putting the head by the knee, that changed that whole situation for me. Love it.
That choke that you were throwing last night.
Which one?
What was it?
A headlock?
It was with your chest.
Yeah, I was turning it into a headlock.
Wow. That was like, I would have never thought of that.
I've been learning a lot from this dude named Daniel O'Brien.
Oh, wow.
He's a buddy of mine. And we
Rockstar.
Yeah, he's really, really amazing jiu-jitsu practitioner. Like, next level amazing. Like, when I'm like really good one day, I hope I'm as good as he is now.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He's the guy who did the Kakudo blindfolded.
Yeah.
Three matches, lost the last one.
Yeah, he did EBI.
What's up? His style, man. He's like all straight up.
And I'm speaking for him here, right? But I feel mildly comfortable doing so since I know him. But his idea is that if it costs any energy, that's no longer jiu-jitsu. My interpretation, that doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
It just means it's not jiu-jitsu. But if it's not efficient martial arts, then he cast it to the side and, all right, we have to find another way to accomplish this same task. And so, like, we go over there on Tuesday mornings and train, me and Matt Scaff, who is...
Your number two?
I mean, he's as good as I am, at least.
So he's your partner.
He's really good, yeah. He's really, really good jiu-jitsu player, right? So these guys, this is Chuck Mitchell...
I know Chuck.
And then this is Jacob saying, yeah, but the people listening, I didn't get to say their names. I want people to know my friends.
My bad. It's not about you, man.
Follow Chuck on Instagram. You can follow Jacob on Instagram. Jacob is the newly crowned V3 Bantamweight champion right here.
Oh, yeah, Jacob.
He just won the title last weekend.
Yeah, I saw the pictures that you showed me last night.
Jacob just turned 19 not too long ago, and he's already... V3 is a real organization. You know, it's not like a podunk little, or he's the V3 champion now.
It's not like, say, Bellator.
He competes. Like that, right? No, it's not the same as Bellator, right? It's still, we're still working towards those things.
That was a jab at Bellator. I was kidding.
Why? You know, I think Bellator is coming up, man. I think it's becoming a new.
I didn't see the card yet.
No, I didn't get to see it.
Well, they're all a little questionable. Let's be real. Tito versus Chael. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That looked
I'm not saying the fight's questionable. I'm not saying the outcome is questionable.
No, we did say it.
Booking the fight itself to me was a little questionable. Sorry, I got what were you saying right before that? Daniel.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember what I was saying about Daniel, but he's an amazing martial artist.
His style that, you know, if he's not efficient, he's not going to use
it. Yeah,
he's
gonna cast it aside. We'll go over there on Tuesday mornings to train. And before we get there, he goes and lifts weights to failure. And then we train and roll for 2 hours.
I heard that that's not good.
That's what Mark does.
Well, here's why he does it. Because there's no muscular strength left to force you to do what he wants you to do. He's burned out. And so the only way to armbar you is another way. The only way to control your posture is another way. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And so that's what he's training for. I love it. It's a cool idea, man.
I don't know if I could do that, though.
Well, I don't know if anybody can. But he does, and that's why he gets different results, because he just thinks on a, from a different place. So he's an artist for sure.
I've trained like that, go to the gym, lift really hard and heavy, like complete fatigue and exhaustion, and then come and train. And it's just a different type of training I get that day versus coming fresh or relaxed. It is completely different.
You learn different things. You get different weaknesses exposed, different strengths, even that you might not realize. Like, okay, I'm pretty good at controlling this position. Even when I'm completely spent, I can still put this on somebody. And it's because you're efficient in those movements. Anything that you're not efficient in, that you're using muscular strength for, gets exposed.
Right. When you think you might not be as explosive and fast, but you're using different technique and your mind.
I'm trying to take explosive and fast out of my game completely. So my idea is I'm trying to do jiu-jitsu for the rest of my life. Okay. I want my jiu-jitsu to be a jiu-jitsu I can pass on to my wife, to my 12-year-old son, my 9-year-old daughter. And if I've got a technique that my 9-year-old daughter, if I've got a style of jiu-jitsu that my daughter, when she's 16, 17, can't add, then to me, I'm not doing jiu-jitsu anymore. I'm just teaching grappling and fighting and stuff. But the whole idea, I want to be doing jiu-jitsu forever. At 65 years old, I still want to be on the mat rolling with my black belt children, right? Well, if I'm going and squeezing and ripping and moving fast and exploding all the time, I'm not even practicing what I'm going to be doing at 65. So my idea is right now I'm trying to practice the jiu-jitsu that I'm going to be doing at 65. That way, everybody that's like killing their, which I've done this for a long time, like trying to kill your body and just see how far can you push it and how far can you take it. Great. You can take it to about 35, it looks like. About 40 years old training that way. And then those, you know, if you've been doing it a lot, like a lifetime, right, or like a decade, your body can only do so much of that. But there's still so much more to learn after 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years of full-time training, genuine full-time training, as much as I can every single day. And I feel like I've just started to scratch the surface of what's there.
Last night you were talking about staying connected to the ground. And I'm like, I never, you know, put that together. Can you explain what you were saying about?
We were just talking about like watching,
because your feet were connected to the floor when you were
in the crucifix.
No,
you talking about that?
The guy was on side mount.
Talking about for the side.
And you just like all you have to do is stay connected, and you just roll them over like
with no hands, no arms.
No, it was so easy. Well, it looked so easy.
It was.
So
when you do things right, it's supposed to be easy. Anytime it's hard, I should find another. I have to find another way to do jiu-jitsu. So people translate, like we traditionally translate jiu-jitsu means what? What does it mean when we translate it? What does jiu-jitsu mean?
Gentle way.
The gentle art. Yeah. Gentle way is judo. Oh, judo. Yeah. Do is way. Jitsu is art. Ju is gentle. The gentle art, the gentle way. But the more accurate translation is the yielding art. So that when the art puts his hand up here and he goes to push my hand, if he pushes and I push back, I'm no longer yielding. Now we have a fight. And that's fine. A fight is good. A fight is wrestling. A fight is boxing. A fight is Muay Thai. It's a hard style art. And there's a place for those things. But that's not what jiu-jitsu is. Jiu-jitsu is a soft art. So when Art pushes back and I yield, look how he falls off balance now. And so I give way to his desires in order to take what I wanted in the first place. And if I push back, I'm no longer doing jiu-jitsu. That doesn't mean I'm not doing grappling. It doesn't mean we're not fighting. It doesn't mean it's not good, but it does mean it's no longer jiu-jitsu. And so I'm interested in pure jiu-jitsu right now. Like the pure, I'm a martial artist. I'm interested in these other martial arts, but when I'm grappling, I'm most interested in having my jiu-jitsu be as pure and efficient as possible. Look, I get tapped more than ever. I get tapped all the time. I tapped to Jacob and Chuck all the time. You know, they're much smaller than me, blue belts. But in order to find those truths about jiu-jitsu, I have to be willing to put myself in a position where Chuck, who's 130 pounds, where sometimes I have to tap to him.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people think that you're the teacher. You're never supposed to tap. You're not supposed to do these things. But if you're trying to expand your own brain, and I tell my guys all the time, like, hey, listen, this is the place to tap and to try new things. So they'll this catch
training.
Me.
There's yeah, no scoreboard on the
yeah,
walls.
Exactly. So like, I'm trying a new heel hook escape, or I'm trying a new escape, and I get caught. They're like, oh my God, I got you. I was like, that's awesome, man. Good job. I got to work on that new escape. Just like that, I told you about the O'Brien's triangle yeah, escape with the Kimura. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going out trying to work this new technique. Yeah. And it was like, all right, lock me in as deep as you can in this triangle, attack that Kimura. I defended the Kimura, but I fell asleep. But my hips weren't low enough, and I wasn't able to create that drive that he does. So, I mean, there's got
to so what I
play
try
with
to
that
do
and lose to it.
Is I try to take that idea and say, okay, me and you are going to slap hands and we're going to roll. I'm going to be doing that, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Because I want you to attack me. And my job is to find that way.
Put yourself into there and then
what? Maybe I put myself, because I want to win. Like when I'm training, I want to win. I'm a man. Like I'm grown. Like I want to win. I'm not trying to lose. Yeah. So, but I'm not willing to do poor jiu-jitsu in order to win in training.
Yeah.
Right. And if that means that I have to yield to you, then so be it. It's just an education that I have to go and take. You know what I'm saying? So, and if I tell you ahead of time, hey, listen, man, I'm saving my ego when I do that. Listen. We're going to roll a little bit. I got this new thing I'm working on. So if you tap me, it doesn't really count. No, it counts. You know what I mean?
Who doesn't really get me?
Yeah. Really?
I don't think that's
everybody the concept, does that. Everybody does that. You know, they don't say it. And they, you know what I mean? You might not even say it out loud.
Hey, what's worse than being tapped by a dude that's 135 pounds when you're that big?
Dude. It's not, there's nothing, it's not bad at all.
But, okay, for most people, what would you think?
And they're ego-checking themselves. Yeah. You gotta ego-check yourself a little
bit. Getting tapped by a 110-pound girl?
Getting your car, it's fine.
Yeah. Which happens to me when I'm trying stuff.
Yeah.
Maddie, she's like, if I'm not on point, she'll snatch whatever she can grab, and she's gonna break it if I don't tap.
And if you make a mistake and you give her something, she's taking it.
The tendency is to take that, and then say to yourself, even if you don't say it out loud, and say to yourself, well, she's little. I could have gotten out if I wanted to. No. Or, look, I was trying this new escape. I could have just laid on her and she wouldn't even got to that leg lock. Or you can take the lesson for what it is. I have a deficiency in my jiu-jitsu here. It doesn't mean I have a deficiency in my fighting. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It doesn't even mean I have a deficiency in my sport or in my... The deficiency is in my jiu-jitsu. So if I can't roll with, like if me and Sherry can't jump out there and roll and train together, then I have a problem, not her. Like it's my problem. And so the tendency then is to go, well, Sherry tapped me. And so, I would have gotten out. And then you kind of give yourself that excuse. But if I'm genuinely trying, but I'm not willing to muscle and sacrifice, but I'm genuinely trying, then I get the education.
Well, that's what I want to do. I don't want to muscle out. I want to find the way to get out without having to muscle. It just happens that I haven't been able to find that way, and she just...
Yeah.
And so, stick her little arms underneath that chin.
The taps I get the most now,
I got
dude.
About 2 teaspoons of neck.
2 teaspoons.
And she's able to find it. The bigger guys, they can get their arm in there because, I got that much neck.
But they might break your face. Yeah, they might go over your face and break your face, which is, hey, man, that works. But now we're not doing jiu-jitsu. And I'm not – listen, I'll do some mean, dirty stuff because sometimes that's the most efficient thing
like
to
that
do.
Like that punch
choke? I'm shelled up. Like the guy shelled up on the bottom. He's not open to nothing. Sometimes the most efficient thing to do is stick your chin in his eye socket. That's efficient. I'm not going to do that to my – I don't do that to my training partners, but I might lean my weight on the point of my elbow into your shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
Like I might give you a little deep tissue massage right there to get you to flinch. Well, that's the quarter inch I needed to slide my knee under your opposite elbow and start working towards the arm triangle on the one I wanted in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. I got your punch choke.
You know what's going on. It's like, the taps I get the most now that I've started playing this way – the taps I get the most now are just positional pressure. That's probably like my number one submission is just being on top of somebody.
Get on top, like a side control crossbody style.
Top half guard.
Top half shoulder into the neck.
Yeah, Jacob. So I've been showing it to these guys. Jacob put a dude to sleep in an MMA fight from top half guard, just with pressure from the top.
Nice.
put him completely
to sleep. I saw him use that technique in the OPI yesterday, and it definitely didn't look comfortable for the guy. It wasn't choking pressure at that point, but the guy was definitely like not happy about it. Felt like he had to move. It looked that way, right?
Yeah.
He was like, ah.
Jacob makes good, especially for his size, good pressure.
Well, listen, after you got me that punch choke when I was at your school, I realized what I was doing. I was like, I want to go lockdown and see what I can do. Anytime anybody puts me in a lockdown, that punch choke is coming.
Because
they either tap or they let it go.
Well, it relies on them doing the quote-unquote right thing. They're supposed to get double underhooks. Great, because when you put your arms under my arms, your neck is wide open. It's right there for the taking. But we don't go to naked chokes from the front usually in jiu-jitsu because we're scared of the back take. But once you become confident with your body positioning and you understand positioning your weight against the levers of the body, like the chin, for instance, is a lever to the spine. Once I understand how to position my body weight against the levers, I don't have to have that fear of you taking advantage anymore. I can be calm. I can feel for that quarter inch that I need. I can be sensitive to the variations that you try to adopt. And then I can put you to sleep from your dominant positions.
What did you think about Sean's little guillotine setup?
Oh, last night at the...
On the carpet.
Dude, Sean is so good. It's been so fascinating watching Sean grow. When I met Sean, when I say he was a new white belt, he was brand new white belt. He'd been grappling a little bit, maybe even, I think, less than a year when I first met him. And just to watch what he's become now is amazing. I could barely stay on the floor with him. He's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible leg locker. Best leg locker that I personally know, for sure.
I
don't know those Donaher guys personally. I watch them. Like, I watch Eddie Cummings. He's the best in the world, I think. And then John Callistine, I think, is probably the second best leg locker in the world right now. But, man, those guys are good. Those guys are so good. But Applegate's the best that I personally have been on the floor with.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Dude, best.
Get on the Sean Applegate train. That's what I'm telling you.
He's definitely very sick with it.
He's good all the way around, but he's exceptional. And you know what else Sean is great at? Is he can take a guy. Okay, so, Art walks in. It's his first day doing jiu-jitsu. You ever wrestled? No. You ever did it? No. Brand new. Sean can get that guy to tapping purple belts in 6 months.
Talking about Fristo?
For example, yeah, Dalton last night. He went to, he came out here and waxed some dudes yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then went to triple or double overtime in the final against a very seasoned
blue belt
competitor. Dude. Very seasoned. Dalton's been training less than a year.
Yeah, he just got his blue belt.
He just got his blue belt.
Yeah,
that guy was really good.
That in and of itself, just getting your blue belt in a year is like, what? To me, that's like, what? Are you serious? Yeah, he's a real blue belt too. You watch him. He's not just a real blue belt. Like, he would murk some people. And just having that knowledge of the leg game so intricate, even at the level that he's at, it makes you a threat to even to real black belts that don't have familiarity with that game.
I had a brown belt at a Naga recently, was complaining to me about, he's from a gi school, and he was complaining to me about no gi and how guys with only 3 months of training can come in and tap him. I was like, that's a huge hole in your game, bro, if you're getting a guy with just three months of training and can tap you.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. That's a problem.
Oh, they don't let me do leg locks at my school. I was like, you're a brown belt, dog. Something's wrong with that.
I've seen Chris Crawford's game elevated by leaps and bounds.
Chris looked amazing yesterday.
Within the last 6 months, just because of the leg entanglements. Yeah, he was out in HQ, and he brought back some new stuff, too.
Yeah.
So get him another monster, please.
No, I'm good. I killed the monster. I'm still working on the coffee.
Sorry, I hope he's good. They messed up the order.
Hey, listen, I don't drink coffee because it's good. It's just purely a drug.
Is it?
Yeah.
I drink it because it's good.
Oh, I think it's good. Well, I don't drink black coffee.
That's why I put the sugar in. I'm trying to make it good. Like, can we get this too good somewhere? But it doesn't matter.
I like milk in my coffee and sugar.
I like anything that makes it less coffee-ish.
Yeah. But I like the coffee part, though.
I don't.
I'm definitely
sometimes I like it bitter, but sometimes I just want that, that leche condensada in it.
That was a lot of words I didn't understand.
Condensed milk.
No. Leche.
Leche.
Lucas Leche.
Yeah.
College.
So did you ever train the gi at all?
So I've never had a day-to-day teacher at all. On like no gi or gi, right? Like I did the Tung Soo Do program and we grappled there. And then I ended up getting my black. So we would grapple like 10, 15 minutes at the end of class 3 times a week. And then I would go. The reason I signed up there is because they had an MMA class at the end of the week. Me and my wife thought that's what we started together. She like signed me up actually because I was fat. She's like, hey, you're going to die before I do. And I don't want to be a widow. So I signed us up for MMA class.
Are you serious?
Oh, that's how I got started. Yeah.
Fucking MMA class.
Like, how big were you?
About 230.
Dang.
So you're talking about my size right now.
Well, but hold on though. When I got back in shape and started competing, I was doing it at 155.
Holy crap.
So that's my competition weight. And I had gotten up to 220. I think it was like 227 or 228 when I started jiu-jitsu. Lindsay sat me down on the couch. And she was like, look, I love you. You're going to have health problems. And I'm going to live 20 years after you die at this pace. I don't want to be a widow. I signed us up for martial arts. Because we've been watching the UFC forever together, you know. Yeah. We've been watching since I was a little kid. But I never thought in my head, like, oh, I'm going to do that. I just thought it was cool. And I liked the jiu-jitsu part the best. I thought that was intriguing. It seemed like foreign. And so.
Let's do it, baby.
Yeah. And so I always tried to learn the stuff from people. And I never had anywhere to train. Like there was no Brazilian jiu-jitsu in town or within driving distance. Like I could have gone and trained with Daniel O'Brien and those guys. Yeah. But at the time, it was an hour and a half away from me. And I had a full-time job. And I didn't understand the value either of going to train with guys like that. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're a white belt, you just don't know what you don't know.
Do you think you would have fell into the 10 planet system if you would have done that though?
I don't know. I mean, I'm real happy that I fell into the 10th planet system, but I did fall into it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it was, they had just started the websites. I had seen the Mastering Twister or Mastering the System. I read that book. And it just seemed like it kind of fit. Like all the people were just kind of a little different, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what ultimately kept me pursuing 10th Planet is like, these guys just think outside the box. Like that's my tribe. Those are my people. Yeah. You know, I could just tell these are my dudes.
These are my people.
Yeah. Those are my dudes.
Well, it's funny because he and I started with the same guy, but we never saw each other.
Day class, night class kind of thing, or what?
I think he was teaching out here in the morning or something.
No, he was teaching over at the beach. It was a guy named Craig Oxley. He was like an MMA fighter, but he was teaching at like a
Karate America.
A McDojo. I wasn't going to even mention the name. A McDojo, but he was like a legit instructor doing that because he had to make money. You know?
Yeah, I get it.
And
the trap.
So
the trap.
I was doing like Taekwondo or Krav Maga or some other time, and
I was both doing that too.
And I was like, I really want to do
grappling.
I really want to do MMA. I was going to fly out to Thailand again and do all that kind of stuff. And one of my instructors was Angelica, and she was like, hey, you want to do grappling? I got a legit guy. He's at the beach, so you can come with us on the weekends. So I went with him on the weekends, and he was like a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And he's like black belt in
Hawaiian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah,
Hawaiian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Tell me about Hawaiian Jiu-Jitsu.
It's like, to him, what he explained, it was like small circle Jiu-Jitsu.
Wally J.
Yeah. Wally J.
Japanese Jiu-Jitsu.
Dr. Yeah. Wally J.
Yep, just like that. So
I reference Wally J a lot.
So he was interesting, man. You know, we played the guard stuff, so on and so forth. I only got to like maybe 3 minutes of working with him, or three months of work with him, and I got deployed to Germany. And then when I went to Germany, I ran into a guy, a flyer that was put up in the hospital that I worked at. His name was Arturo Ramirez, and he was a like super legit purple belt. And he like showed me all the stuff. And this is before all my injuries. And like in that 6 months, I was able to tap out other purple belts. And when he took me to these different grappling clubs in Germany, I was like wrecking house. I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then I left after 2 years of training with him, came back here. Trained for like a year at a local school and then shot back to Germany for 2 more years. And he happened to still be there. And then when he left, I ran the jiu-jitsu club over there. And then I came back and then I started getting belted up. I mean, it took me 2.5 years to make blue belt. And then it took me, when I came back, a year to make purple. Like I came back and starched everybody. And then I was hanging out at purple for like 6 years because I left that school. And then, I was like very gun shy on who I attached my name to. And so I went to an MMA school instead. I was like, well, I'm not going to get belted, but I want to be a better fighter. And if I'm going to coach this in the future, I need to be there. I don't want to, off a theory, oh, you should do this. I'm like, how the fuck do you know you should do this? So I'm like, all right, you know, let me go take these fights. I took like 7 fights and I felt like I got all the experience. You know, I'm 37 now, so like that part's out of my life now. I can't do that anymore. But then I met Brian here.
He's the best.
You're welcome.
Brian's the best, man.
Yeah, actually, Wallow had come to a couple of my MMA fights and stuff like that, and he was talking to Brian, talking me up a little bit. He's like, yo, art, da-da-da. And then his girl, Michelle, like, I was showing her rubber guard pass, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And so when Brian came, she's like, oh, and showing rubber guard, she's like, oh, my buddy Art does that. He's like, where, really? And so took us a while to meet up, but when we finally meet up, dude, we like click. I was like, what's up, bro?
You actually met at my place during a UFC event.
Yep.
Look at you.
I know.
It was. And he was cool,
tried
man.
To correct it just so he could win.
Yeah.
But no.
But
no,
then he was like, nah, yeah. Wallow.
And then we met at a restaurant for, I think it was Michelle's birthday or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's when we're like, surprise really birthday, like kind of kicked it off right there. Like Wallow was talking to me. I was like, oh, Art's a sick motherfucker. And I was like,
well, you got to remember, you know, I was hanging around Blue Belt for a long time and Art used to come over and just beat the dog shit out of me.
Starch
me. Starch me. Like I would seriously consider quitting after grappling with Art. And so I always, yo, Art's a bad motherfucker. You got to get together with Art and, you know, just so you guys can talk. And
if nothing else, just
yeah,
butt heads and find out if you hate each other.
Absolutely. Because Brian came in into the training yard with his mullet.
Brian had a mullet? Oh, man, I hate I missed that.
I say it was a mullet, but it wasn't a mullet. I always make fun of his hair.
Let's just say it's a mullet.
Yeah, it was. So he came with this long-ass mullet, and he put me in rubber guard, and I knew about rubber guard from watching videos, Eddie Bravo, and all that stuff, but there wasn't no template around, and when we started no gi, because Craig wasn't doing the gi stuff. Uh-huh. So I've always been, more of a no gi guy anyway. So when he put me in the rubber guard, I was like, oh, I know that. So after our roll, I started talking to him, and I'm like, dude, you're my new best friend, bro. So on some days, I have a key to the training yard. I used to ask Dean, hey, can I use the gym? And we'll clean it. We'll leave it like we found it. And Brian used to come over and teach us rubber guard in lockdown. So, you know, after like a month or so, I started catching people in rubber guard, lockdown. And eventually our school faded, long story short.
Planet Fundamentals.
And we started doing open mats until we got 10 planet, until he got 10 planet going.
Yeah.
And that's what he was teaching. So I already had like a little head start on most people.
Yeah, he's a lovable guy. I've been pretty lucky, man. All the moonheads and stuff that I got to meet, you know, being a part of the association has been just outstanding people. Brandon McCaffrey being probably my favorite.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, I would say the apex of that.
Definitely has to be one of my favorite.
And he's not lying either, because he talks you up. I mean, like.
Richie's really listen, fucking close. So
listen, there's God. And then there's Brandon up here.
Yeah.
So it's Brandon, God, and whatever else he believes in.
We need to stop that. That's.
He's like, that's blasphemy.
That's blasphemy. I'm not trying to get struck by lightning.
He is.
Yeah, I am.
I think I'll be guilty by association right there.
Right. I happen to be hugging Brandon at the same time.
No, but in all seriousness, you know, Art's like, oh, did you see B-Mac's new video? Did you see how he
that's
got
good.
It?
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I love
He's
it.
He's always talking to you. I'm like, well, yeah, you know bro, what, I know. I see it.
I try really hard. You know, I'm not I wouldn't say that I'm like a really talented grappler by any means, but I just don't know that anybody cares more than I do.
And that's what makes people care about you, I think, because you're so approachable. You know, like the first time I met you, you know, it's like, you didn't know me for shit. You're like, come here. And you gave me this big old hug. And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's cool.
I want you to feel good.
You're a hugger.
I'm a hugger.
Yeah, hugger.
So I love
just like Art. He's a hugger.
Minus the tap.
The key to a good hug, I learned from Brandon, is to avoid the pat.
Yeah, don't slap him.
Don't slap him.
What do you mean?
Yeah, Bert.
Just hold the embrace.
No slapping.
Just hold the embrace.
Oh, yeah?
For like a second, nothing too long, but just a second.
No, sometimes just an extra second. Whenever
you have to give a nice little squeeze at the end, like
when they try to like break away, you give them a little squeeze.
try to do it without the squeeze. Watch how weird it feels. just be like two arms embrace, no slapping, no patting the back, no saying a word. Take it to where it feels weird. One more second, and just let it go.
One more second.
And watch.
So, no, if they go to pull away, I'm squeezing.
No, you stay. You stay. That's a little different when they're pulling away.
When I know somebody
wants to hug Ruby.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? So this is something me and my wife started doing. I do this with my children, too. And I do this without telling everybody else that I'm doing it to them. But I don't ever get 30 seconds. But I read something somewhere like 10 years ago or something. It was like 30 seconds of embrace, like a physical touch of a hug that like sets off different endorphins, and like it produces a chemical reaction in your body that like bonds you, like you both have the same reaction at the same time, and it causes you to bond. It might be hippy dippy pseudoscience, I don't know, but it's real. So me and Lindsay, we read that. And so every day we try to like have a 30-second no word, like not like, okay, look, it's 2:30. Let's do our embrace. Let's do our hug.
Let's do our embrace.
You know, when I hug my wife, I try to just hold her and think of her for 30 seconds. You know, just like try to just get half a minute in there. Just
do I've heard do of that a situation like that for like where you look in their eyes for like 4 minutes.
Whoa.
Right.
That seems uncomfortable.
No. You can look it up on YouTube.
That's the best reason ever to do something.
It does create connections, looking into the eyes, and then also the embrace. I've read, like, do it in the morning before work and things like that, or have a routine or somewhere where you do it, but looking in the eyes.
I think that's why jiu-jitsu is so addictive. Though,
like these people started, companies started breaking down. Like, some would just start crying or just, like, weird
I've
feelings.
I've seen that video,
We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Ow.
That was good, right? California.
That's right.
No good. Even Hollywood trying to get it.